Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I cannot tell you how grateful I am for this privilege of coming back home and being with you this morning. For those of you who don't know me at all, my name is Prince Singh, and I grew up in this church. I went to Sunday school here, got confirmed here. Right through my growing years in this place, I found this to be a community that really cared in such amazing ways. And it feels as if the letter that Paul wrote to the church in Colossae would be fitting for me to recall of you, because you stand out as a community that truly tries to practice what it means to be a family of God. Now, I know in every family of God there is also baggage, there's also distrust and things that are not all that great. But the large picture gives us a sense that we are on the right track. And this morning I want to see if we can, for a few minutes, meditate on one of the stories of the Gospels, where in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus tells the parable of the Good Samaritan. And it's really a parable that comes out of a very simple question from a very smart lawyer. What must I do to inherit eternal life? And we realize that Jesus goes on to give a response to this person who asked about eternal life with a story of something that was very temporal, something that was very earthy, because he went on to talk about human need. And I find that to be quite an amazing way to understand the kernel of the truth of the gospel. Because at the end of the day, it seems like Jesus wanted his audience then and us today, the church, to hear this loud and clear, that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not just about what we believe in our heads, in our hearts, but about how that translates in our lives today. I'm very humbled, especially to stand up here this morning, because I noticed Bishop Sundar Clark walking in, and I believe he's somewhere here. Bishop Sundar Clark ordained me as a deacon many years ago, and I had the rare privilege of his presence when I graduated out of Princeton Seminary a few years ago as well. And I will never forget one thing that he said to us as we were preparing for our ordination. He said, people can read about the Gospels in John, Mark, Luke, and Matthew. But you are the fifth Gospel, he said. Because in you, they are not just reading about what happened in history, but about how that history has impacted our present. You are the fifth gospel, he said. And I remember that very well, and I keep that as one of those etched truths in my consciousness about what it means to be a servant of the gospel. And so in this understanding that Jesus seems to pronounce, it is not only about how well we believe or how deeply we believe or how religious we are. In fact, how religious we appear. But how we have really started engaging the gospel in our world today. In other words, there's a phrase that's becoming common in some mission circles. And the phrase basically is that we are a church that's called to be missional. M-I-S-S-I-O-N-A-L. We are called to be a missional church. It's a very interesting phrase because it helps us really understand what the true identity of the church is. Do you remember the 19th century and the 18th century when the early missionary movements began and people started coming here with the gospel, so to speak, to preach the good news. And essentially, one of the things that happened then was not only did they preach about Jesus Christ, but they started schools and hospitals and a few other places that were not available to people who in many ways were not considered human even. The poor, the desperate, the wretched of the earth, so to speak. And it was the missionary movement, so to speak, that helped recapture humanity. And these institutions of learning were probably the first avenues that opened up vistas that have probably changed the history of India in so many ways. And I don't want to romanticize the missionary movement in any way, because like any movement, it has its own baggage. But the concept of the gospel being translated in the here and now is a very central aspect of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you and I, as people who believe in this gospel, who believe in Jesus Christ, who worship God in this tradition of faith, are encouraged to know that we are a missional people. We have a missional identity. And you live it so well. I have read so much about St. Albans and have found that you're constantly expanding your ways of being relevant to a broken world, communicating care to people who are otherwise forgotten. And I want to encourage you to keep that work up. I'll tell you why. Because the West, from where missionaries came today, are probably looking for missionaries to come back from the East. It's a very strange thing to say, and I cannot believe that I'm saying that, but it's true. About 3 weeks or 4 weeks ago, we had a consultation in Princeton, New Jersey, where we gathered together as colleagues from India primarily, many theologians and so on from the East Coast. And in that consultation, we were quite surprised to hear missional as interpreting the presence of people from the East coming back to the West to reach them back, so to speak, to call the West back to the faith that they once had. So it seems like there is a reversal of the tables. And you and I, as witnesses of Jesus Christ, are called to really embrace this identity of being missional. It is about being dynamic in our presentation of the gospel, in being faithful. It's about being a people who call this world, this broken world, to heal itself or find the healing in Christ, to extend hospitality to those who are forgotten. And you, especially here at St. Andrew's, who have this rare privilege of being in the city, you have a wonderful opportunity to be a church that is more than you are right now, to expand your tent, to expand your vision, and to really be the church of Jesus Christ in its missional identity. In the story of the Good Samaritan, you have this priest who goes past the man who is beaten and bruised. And then you have the Levite, both religious people. But finally you have the Samaritan who stops and does what anybody should do. In fact, I'm always amazed at why this parable was titled the Parable of the Good Samaritan. He didn't really do something very good. He did something that any normal human being should do. But the culture had become so crass that human dignity didn't matter a whole lot. And in that kind of a culture, he stood out. And his simple act of kindness turned out to be recognized as good. But the audience to which Jesus was speaking was shocked when they heard the story. Because really, the person he identified to be the hero in the story was a nobody. Samaritans were considered to be outcasts and really invisible people who nobody really cared about, the dispensable of the earth. And Jesus picked up that character and said he understood what it meant to show kindness. And therein, I believe, is another identity that you and I are expected to open our eyes to. And that identity is that of equal opportunity. Let me be very blunt in the way I paraphrase that. In Christ, it doesn't matter how long you've been a Christian. It matters how closely you can relate to the gospel today. And that's the clarion call that comes out from the gospel. That this Samaritan, who was not religious in that sense of the word, who was not considered to be anybody in society, stepped up and did what needed to be done. He showed up and was a neighbor to someone who was desperate. And so the call for us is to recognize that we too can be open to the possibility of hearing the good news from those we don't otherwise consider religious. Religious people have a lot of baggage. We sometimes get caught up in our routines so much that we forget what this religion, what this spirituality is all for. I don't know about the tradition here in the Anglican Church or the Episcopal Church. One of the things we have very common in our liturgical style of being a people is the call response. So for instance, I would say, "The Lord be with you," and you would say, "And also with you." You're familiar with that, right? So I believe there was this preacher who went up to the mic and he had this custom of starting his sermon by saying, "The Lord be with you," and everyone would say, "And also with you." So as usual, he went up and he started off and he said, "The Lord be with you." And just then he noticed that the mic was not working. So he said, "There's something wrong with the mic." And the people went, "And also with you." Well, the fact of the matter is that we can get so caught up in our routine being that we forget Christ when we see him. "I was naked, I was hungry, I was thirsty, I was in prison, and you did not recognize me." But those are very, very tough words to hear. And I hope and pray that we don't hear those words. I believe we don't. But it's for us to recognize that we need to be faithful today and not just be caught up in how we were 10 years ago, how we were with our plans in the past, but about how we are today. But finally, this gospel mandate for us in terms of being a missional people is that we have also this identity which calls for total commitment in terms of our identity. If we are in Christ, we are a new creation. All things are passed away. All things are new. And when we show up, things must change. And things will, because we come in the power of Christ. But it's about our handing over ourselves totally to God. A hen and a goat were standing outside a church, and the bulletin board read, "Help the poor, give generously. Help the poor, give generously." And the hen looked at the goat and said, "Hey, how about you offer some mutton so they can make some biryani? And I will give an egg. That'll be a nice combination. Mutton biryani with egg." And the goat looked at the hen and said, "Well, that's interesting. For you, it's just a contribution, but for me, It's a total commitment. The gospel of Jesus constantly calls us to choose between making a contribution or living with a total commitment. And Christ calls us not to a very simplistic, sugar-coated gospel when he says, if anyone wishes to follow me, let him or her take up the cross daily and follow me, denying himself or herself. This total commitment calls us to maturing as Christians. It calls us to truly recognizing this not just as something that we can keep for ourselves, not just like a cozy pillow, but as a gift that we want to constantly share and look to share. It calls us to, for instance, forgiving others so that we cannot just get stuck in our places. Many times we are involved in ministry and we have our disagreements with those who work with us. I remember reading this book which had the title, Where Two or Three Are Gathered Together, Someone Spills the Milk. It's true that Christian community is not panacea. It's not a perfect situation. There will be times when you have to wake up in the morning and forgive somebody. And I'm not just talking about ministry, I'm talking about family. But it's so important for us, if we are to be totally committed, to let go so that we can be channels of grace for a world that needs healing. Let me close with words that I read about 2 years ago when I came and preached here. Words that have come to mean a lot to me, words associated with Mother Teresa. People are unreasonable, illogical, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you are kind, people may accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Be good anyway. Honesty and frankness will make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. What you spend years building may be destroyed overnight. Build anyway. People need help, but may attack you if you try to help them. Help them anyway. In the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway.